Cycling enthusiast since 1965. By Southeast Iowa Garage Door Specialist, service and sales for all your garage door needs, residential and commercial. The Hobbycraft Shop, planes, trains, and automobiles for big kids and small kids. Nick's Cycling and Fitness. Nick from Nick's Cycling and Fitness has proudly been an official bicycle mechanic for Ragbri for over 30 years. By Jim's Lock and Safe, products to protect your property. And by Cellular Connections, Verizon store located on Lawrence Drive in Burlington under new ownership and expanding their store to better serve their customers.
And at 7:27, we are back. Steve Hexum still on the line. Good morning, Steve from Ames.
Hey, good morning. It is a beautiful day again. We've had we had one rainy beginning and one rainy ending on Monday, but today it so far looks it's comfortable. It's cool, about 60 degrees. It's sunny. We've got officially there is a 60 mile day today. And it's about twice the feet of climb of yesterday, which was hardly any feet of climb at all. But the Ames to Newton leg, but I'm going to be doing actually a few more miles today because I'm about 4 miles to get to where they actually start the official route map to the thing, because I'm deep inside the city of Ames, which is pretty well spread out if you've ever been up here. Yeah, it's pretty spread out. So anyway, I've got to ride in traffic, and I'm going to have to fight some traffic to get to the route. I'm hoping that because people know it's Ragbri, they will not try to knock me down. Yeah, that would be my best hope for the morning start. But yesterday, I actually got lost, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yeah, I had. Here's what happened. I got found pretty fast, or I found the route pretty fast. But what happened is, I left Jefferson, and then I went to, as I was telling earlier, I got a tall coffee, and I savored that because I didn't have any coffee to start the day at the house. And
right, well, that's pretty important.
It is very important. I had my coffee, and then I got, and it was the next town up was called Grand Junction, and Grand Junction, they had everybody was going to the left. They said the route goes to the left. And it said straight ahead, the National Lincoln Highway Museum. And I said, National Lincoln Highway Museum. I'll bet that's something I might like to see and maybe even get a picture of. And I did, a couple of them actually. And it was a fascinating story. 1913, it was when it started, and it started right there. And the curator there was very disappointed that the route didn't go through there. But I'm in Grand Junction, and I go to there, and then I'm seeing a bunch of other riders going straight up. So I figure, okay, well, I'll go rejoin the route. Anyway, I'm following them, and we're going, instead of going on the route, we're getting away from the route. So I had to pedal in, okay, we got to pedal some money. I got about 6 miles off the route, so I had to go back over 6 miles, and they said, you can join the route up there, and I was able to do that just before I got to the town of Ogden.
That had to be worth the detour, though. That old Highway 30 is such a cool old road, and it's got a great story behind it.
Yeah, I was on New Highway 30 for a while, which also happened to have probably a few hundred, if not thousand, vehicles that were all taking bicyclist gear on their way to the meeting town. And I think the thing that I was talking about earlier also, the fact that how many people ask me along the way, they say, how many riders actually do this thing? And I said, you know, nobody really knows for sure. You've got 10,000 people that are what we call week-long riders. You get about 5,000 each day that are considered what they have a wristband is for day riding. And then you have probably at least another 5,000 to maybe 10,000 people that jump on at any given time, and they'll do either all or part of the ride. They just figure there's no reason to buy a wristband. And then you have a day like yesterday where it's perfect weather and flat. And so, and it's also going into a larger city. And then that swells the ride. We went into Des Moines 5 years ago, and there was that they estimated there were 40,000 people riding into Des Moines.
Wow, that's quite a few.
That is that's a lot. So, I mean, the issue here is there anything in control or any way to control? There is one advantage. Probably the best thing you have to do is just be patient. Let the ride stop off and let the ride thin out. It does thin out as the day goes along, because in congested traffic, that's dangerous. You just don't want to be. You just want to be doing that. But Ogden, I've never seen a town that I don't think I've ever seen so many cyclists. It was gridlock in that town. I mean, from beginning to end, thousands and thousands of riders ahead of me, I can see, and thousands behind me, and they're all, it seemed like everybody stopped in that town. And I'm guessing they made a few dollars.
I would imagine so. And that's not a very big town for as many people as I'm sure were there.
No, it isn't. And Boone was a meeting town. Actually, they were very, Boone was a fairly, I think it's about 12,000 to 13,000 people. So it was a nice town for meeting town. I had lunch there. I got to Luther, and I didn't even know it was Luther. I guess it was 7.5 miles up the road, and it was like there was a few stands. I saw a couple of houses, and I guess that must have been Luther, because that's all I can figure. And then pedaled on in. We had to stop at my traditional final stop of the day and chat with people from at the Iowa Craft Beer Festival, which has, they have two stands every day, and they usually find the best shade. But they are the largest. There's no doubt about it. There are more people that gather at those stands than there is. Can you believe it? There's more people that gather at those stands than any other stand, individual stand on Ragbri.
Wow. I can believe it, though. That
I know you can.
It always that's where I'd be if I were riding Ragbri.
Anyway, and then so I stopped and I saw, and I'm sitting on. I found a seat. Talked to some people from Chicago. I talked to some people from Colorado, and then I'm walking and I'm sitting on a bench. I got a seat on a bench, and a guy comes by me. He's wearing a pink jersey. He says, "Are you doing today?" He said, "You remember me?" Yeah, and I said, "I do. I've seen you a few times on this ride." It was Jeff Corzat, and Jeff remembered me. He remembered me. I remember me from all. He's seen me on the ride all the time. But Jeff used to be a pretty good bike racer back in the day, and he did the Crapo Park Criterium. That was what preceded the Snake Alley Criterium, and that's where I started becoming the voice of bike racing in Burlington, and that was back the same number of years ago as I've been doing Ragbri, and he started doing Ragbri the same year I did. Now, he hasn't done every day of every ride. He missed a year. He missed a year in 2001 going into Muscatine. He broke his collarbone. He thought he was going to be, he said, "You know, I thought maybe I could do a leg or two." But the doctor said, "You know, it would probably be pretty stupid for you to do that." So anyway, he took discretion as the better part of valor. But anyway, hey, it's a beautiful day today. We are in Ames, on our way to Newton. So we're in the heart of central Iowa, and we are going to be on a road that is the old 30. It's called E-41, and E-41 is the old 30 highway. And that will be going through Nevada, not Nevada, Nevada, Colo. State Center is our meeting town. Then we go to Melbourne, not the one in Australia, down to Baxter. And then finally make it down to Newton. It's probably going to be about 65 miles as it looks to me for me to get from my house to the city of Newton. And I've got another house tonight from another host. And you know what? Host hospitality is king, and it is awful nice to have a shower that you can choose the temperature on and stay inside air conditioning. I have to admit that. I haven't done a camping adventure. I did 11 years of camping, haven't done it since 28 years. But
it's the little things in life, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, you know what? It's still, I think the bottom line for me is it's still fun, and I will be whatever pictures I have along the way, I will be posting on my Facebook page and also on the News Radio Facebook page coming up later on. And this report, I'm going to guess, will also be on KBUR.com under Facebook, right?
Yes, it will. It'll be on the KBUR website, right on the RagBri page. Just click on it. It's on the on-air menu at KBUR.com.
And hopefully the wrap-ups from the evening wrap-ups that I'm going to be doing, or the night, or the afternoon wrap-up, actually, that's going to be on just at 5:05 tonight. That will hopefully be posted. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure it will be posted sometime soon. But anyway, it's sort of the story of the whole week, and you can follow along, or you don't have to listen live. You can listen as you check in. But you know what? I'm going to let you get back to. You know, I'm looking at your screen, so I see you've got the Riverside Casino spots you got to play. So
absolutely. Well, Steve, have a good time. Of course, I lived up in that area for several years, and you're in for a beautiful scenic ride today.
All right. Well, thank you. I will be checking in later on today with a wrap of the day, and I will also be checking with you about the same time tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you later, Steve. Have a good time
all on right.
your journey. Bye. It's 738 News Radio 99.3, 1490 KBUR, and we're going to take a quick break. We will be back. Of course, if you want to follow Steve on his RagBri adventure, the KBUR Facebook page. He's been posting a lot of his pictures and such on there, and also, of course, online at KBUR.com. On the on-air tab, click on RagBri. It's got daily updates with the combination of his writing, pictures, and his morning wrap-up.
Rock and reminisce at the 60s sound at Riverside Casino and